up, my little podlings, my podaninos? Welcome back to the Free Brightness Podcast. It's the Verbal Warrior, Isaac Bright, coming to you live, straight and direct from the historic West Adams District in La La Land, where every day is the 4th of July with fireworks going on nonstop that just completely shake your coccyx from the flashbangs. My goodness. But before we go on, before we even do anything from this unbelievable show I'm about to drop into your ears, we have to say hello to the one, the only, Yofi. A little grunt howl. Interesting. That's little baby Yofi, people. What's up? Welcome back. Oh my goodness. So much has gone on in La La Land, since our last episode. And we're technically, supposedly open, 100%, as it were. And yet you go outside into the world of the cities of angels, and everywhere you look, people still in face pampers. Oh my goodness. They have just run a doozy on the people of this planet. Fear is one hell of a mother. Let me tell you, because walking around with these face pampers, I couldn't believe it. I was so excited to finally walk into Whole Foods, because I never walked outside with a face pamper. That was just never good. I didn't care what anybody said. Stop me. Go ahead, please. That was just absolutely ridiculous. And I tried the Whole Foods thing, and it was just too much of a pain in the ass. I mean, you got to pick your battles. I mean, I wasn't trying to wrestle with 250-pound security guards every time. I just wanted to get my some cauliflower chips. Like, I wasn't trying to take on the world for some cashew yogurt, for God's sake. the cassava flour gluten-free cookies were not worth being thrown out ass first, because I didn't want to wear a surgical mask that did jack diddly poo on my face. So, you know, you got to pick your battles, people. But yet I walk into Whole Foods just like a couple days ago, or a day after the mandate from Herr Newsom was lifted, and 95% of people pampered up. Unbelievable. I went to Trader Joe's, pretty much the same thing. I decided to take it up a notch, and I went to Air One, where I figured there's more of an ascended, evolved vibe of shopping. And of course, you know, you pay $50 for a thing of orange juice, you've obviously got to be tuned into a higher consciousness, and still pampered up. I'd say 50% pampered up in Whole Foods, I mean, Air One. But Bank of America, went to B of A today. Everybody, and I mean everybody, pampered up. Everyone, every single one, gloves the whole nine. Oh my goodness. What the hell, people? Take them off. They don't do anything. For goodness sake. I'm going to get to that in a second. But the main thing for me is I was all excited finally to speak to the beautiful women of Los Angeles and at least, you know, live under the pretense that I have some sort of illusory shot of actually going on a date with one of them, because I get to talk to them. Although my game is completely shot. Like, I'm just flubbing over myself. I'm back to a 12-year-old in junior high school. But at least, you know, I'm looking at them, and now it's occurred to me that I have a very major hesitancy of approaching them, because I got to tell you, if you've been jabbed up, you don't really know if I want to be doing much of anything with you. That's a big no-no. I want to have kids someday. And I've been reading and seeing way too many incidents and all this kind of craziness that's been going on. And, you know, I mean, I think, and it's a tough subject to breach. I mean, you know, how do you would think that, you mean the basic one, the question would be like, hey, are you jabbed up? and because you would want them to be jabbed up. But see, I'm on the opposite side because I want nothing to do with, I mean, look, if you've been jabbed, I don't care if I'm around you. If you've been jabbed and God bless you, your choice, do whatever you want. But if we're talking about swapping spit and fluids and you exchanging spike protein with me, nah, I've got a big issue with that. So now what the hell do I do? I mean, do I walk around with a spoon and see if it sticks to, like I just surreptitiously just have a spoon with me and just see if I throw it, if it'll stick to your arm? Is that a possibility? Maybe I have like an EMF meter. I don't know if you've seen these EMF meter videos where they're going up to people that have been jabbed up and their EMF readings are through the roof. I'll explain to you what's actually going on with that. But maybe that's my game. Maybe I just have to like make it fun. Like, hey, I got this EMF reader. Oh my God. Let's see what's going on here. Oh my God. Is that a Wi-Fi router in your panties? Or are you just happy to get me a better signal? Oh my goodness. Look at that. Who stuffed an iPhone in your butt? Oh my goodness. What is going on in there? Look at these readings through the roof. You are one crazy half robot. Listen, I'll follow you on Insta and let's talk about getting together next week and then run screaming. I think that's the way to do it. What am I supposed to do? I can't, this experiment that everybody's taking. I mean, I don't know. What am I supposed to do? I guess Amish don't do this. I don't think Orthodox Jews do. And I've already got, you know, problems meeting the Jewish girls. And that's the last thing I want to do is get together with an Orthodox Jew because she's not jabbed up. And next thing you know, 6 months later, I'm banging her through a sheet and, you know, eating a, you know, under seasoned brisket in Brooklyn. That's not living my ideal life there, people. That would be a bad thing. So we've got magnets. Okay. Magnets are sticking to people's arms where they got the jibbity jab jab. Okay. And also other places of their body. There's dozens upon dozens of videos. There's just minutes upon minutes of everybody showing, oh my God, look, it's sticking to me. They tried to disprove it in Mexico in a Mexico talk show, and they just went out to random people and they said, oh, come on. And of course it started sticking to people's arms. It's also sticking to the meat supply. It's sticking to people have been getting raw meat and bringing it home and showing, throwing magnets at the meat, and it's sticking to the meat. So what's going on? They're obviously jabbing up the meat supply, and there's obviously something going on in your arm. It looks like there's some hyperinflammatory iron metabolism caused by the spike protein that's distinctly separated by the whatever else that they're putting in you. Now, what that means in pure English is that when you're getting jibbity jab jab jabbed, it's the jab is stealing iron from your blood, and it's assembling this iron around where your injection site is. And that's why you're getting these metals that are sticking to you. So this is why we're having blood clots, okay? The jab's going in, it's stealing iron, it's assembling whatever the hell it is. It's like, it's basically, you know, the little matrix things that were above the ships when they were out and outside of the matrix and they were trying to get in. So it's like they're stealing iron from the blood. They're creating whatever nanoparticled citadel in the site of your injection. And what happens when your blood is attacked? Well, it clots. It's clotting in defense of the fact that it's being robbed of its iron. Hence, blood clots. That's why you're getting them. It's purely because of that. I don't know what the hell else you need to be. I mean, there's no other rational explanation. Look, and with blood clots, I've talked about the pilots issue just a couple weeks ago. Four British Airways pilots dead. Delta pilot dead. Canadian pilot unconscious on the runway. That's just in a week. That was the first week when this started coming out. Now they're saying again, 60 to 80 American Airline pilots, and they're canceling flights. What do you think they have in common? And look, before you start getting on me, I'm some paranoid crazy person about, you know, spike protein and taking in something from somebody who's been jabbed up. The guy who was the pioneer of mRNA technology came out and he said, yes, if you've been jabbed with mRNA, there you can definitely be shedding spike protein. And when he tweeted that, Twitter took down his Twitter account. So, Jesus, you think he was right? Or, I mean, I don't know. Something to think about. So, like, okay, so here's the thing. Okay, thousands upon thousands of jabbed up people in Massachusetts have now contracted whatever the hell they want to call this thing that you're getting. Thousands of thousands in Israel, same thing. Public Health England just came out. 62% of new cases in England from the jabbed up. And here's this little clip I'm going to play from this health person in Australia. Wait till we hear this one.
We urge people to be vaccinated, but a key message also is just because you're vaccinated, you can still get infected and be infectious.
it's like saying, you listen. I know you want to you only have safe sex. So I did get some condoms, but the thing about these condoms is they're from a company called Hole at the Top. So the condoms themselves, they actually have holes at the top of the condoms, but they are still technically condoms. So upon putting these things on, I'm technically still having safe sex with you, although there is a hole at the top of the condom. But don't let that put you off about getting anything from me, because I'm still practicing safe sex.
We urge people to be vaccinated, but a key message also is just because you're vaccinated, you can still get infected and be infectious.
Hi, I'd like to go to Africa. I'm told I need a malaria shot. Oh, sure. No problem. All right. I can give you that. Here you go. Great. All right. So when can I go? Oh, you can't go. Why? No, it's not safe. Why not? Well, you could get malaria. But I just got the shot. I know. Would you like me to take a picture? No, I don't want a picture. Well, you want a piece of paper? I could show your friends. No, I don't want a piece of paper. I want to go to Africa. Well, you're going to, if you really want to go to Africa, you're going to need another one. Another what? Another shot. Another shot? Of course. And then I could go? No. Why not? Well, it's not safe. But I've got two shots. It's not safe even if I take two shots? Oh, not at all. You get malaria. But they're malaria shots. I know. That's not safe. Why even take them if it's not even protecting me from malaria? You want a balloon? I don't want a balloon. You want a hamburger? I don't want a hamburger. I want to go to Africa. Well, you can't go, but you can tell everybody that you got your shots. Nice job. You're doing your part. Well, look, let me ask you a question. Sure. Have you been to Africa? Well, of course. Did you get your shots? No, I would never get that shot. What? Are you kidding me? Well, did you get malaria? Yeah, it wasn't that bad. As I said, I'm not theoretically against the basic application of a jab. Like, if we're in a serious state of emergency, like a real emergency, like I say, if there's an actual real zombie apocalypse happening, okay, and there's zombies running around the street, and the FDA is coming out with something that says, hey, you know, we whip something up that if you get bitten by a zombie, you won't turn into a zombie, but it's got some side effects. I mean, you might lose your nuts, and your boobs might completely shrivel down into useless sacks, and I don't know, a platypus might grow out of your asshole. You're like, I don't care. I don't want to be turned into a zombie. And, you know, the zombie's there, and he's like, and you're just like, give me the fucking jab. Give me the jab. And then, you know, you deal with the consequences of, like, listen, man, I was either be a human or be a zombie. And then a year later, you know, you're in your group therapy sessions. And, you know, for those who had a platypus grow out of their ass, and they say, you know, hi, my name's Stuart. Hi, Stuart. My platypus's name is Sherman. Hi, Sherman. And, you know, you live with it, and that's a choice you made, because in the face of a dire, deep, necessary emergency, you decided I'd opt for life, a half-life of what I am versus losing everything that I am and not being human again. That's an emergency. What we have now is not an emergency. See, the global mortality rate has not increased at all. There's a 99.9% recovery rate. We're not in an emergency, and this is why they keep the face pampers out there, and it's why they're going with the variants and all this other shit, because they gotta keep you thinking that we're in a state of an emergency. It's why Grusom hasn't given up his state of emergency. The more that we're in an emergency, see, they keep you in an emergency because then they don't have to be liable. Then there's nothing that can hurt them when all this, these reports and millions of people having all these effects, they don't have to do anything about it. They don't have to pay a single dime. Once we get out of emergency, people, okay, they're screwed. They have to keep it an emergency until they can get it actually approved. I heard a whole long telephone conversation with somebody who called up one of the main companies. I'm not going to say which one. Because I don't want, get them after me. But we had a whole company, and before they started asking all these questions, well, what are the side effects and what's going to happen to me and this, they said, okay, well, hold on. And they read from a script, and basically it was saying the FDA has not approved any jab whatsoever, that they're only being used under emergency use authorization. And they have not been approved for proper use, and basically admitted it to being some sort of an experimental experience. So we're taking place, this is an experiment. We're engaging in a global experiment as to whether, these things work or they don't, and who knows what the hell's going to happen to you. But I would say there's something definitely more nefarious going on, as we could see with the magnets and the nanoparticles and all the other stuff that they're trying to do. That's a whole other ball of wax, this transhumanist gene therapy, which is basically what the hell it is that we're putting into ourselves, or you're putting into yourselves. If that's what you want to do, that's your choice. Do it. But, okay, it's an emergency. We're not in an emergency, people, okay? There's no more emergency. It's done. It's been done. So I think I've spoken about this low-life piece of dung before, Mr. Klaus Schwab. And he was brought up in the Bentley Mitchum interview. And, this is the guy that's head of the World Economic Forum. And this is one of the big hootsie-tootsies when it comes to running the planet. And this is from his book, okay? This is quoting his book. I'm going to try and read it in my evil villain voice, because that'll at least will make it more fun, because it's pretty horrible. So this is what he had to say. And again, we've been screaming about this, and by we, I mean people who are alternative researchers, have been screaming about this for decades. Like, hello, they want to reduce the population. They want to kill you off. They see you as a virus. They see you as cattle. They see you as useless, okay? They've been trying for years to get something out into the world that would get rid of you. And even this thing that doesn't necessarily work, they're going to do everything in their power to take advantage of the situation to make it work, which is why, look. Okay, so let me read from this, okay? At least 4 billion useless eaters, that's in quotes, useless eaters shall be eliminated by the year 2050 by means of limited wars, organized epidemics of fatal rapid acting diseases, and starvation. Energy, food, and water shall be kept at subsistence levels for the non-elite, starting with the white populations of Western Europe and North America, and then spreading to other races. The population of Canada, Western Europe, and the United States will be decimated more rapidly than on other continents until the world's population reaches a manageable level of 1 billion, of which 500 million will consist of Chinese and Japanese races, selected because they are people who have been regimented for centuries and who are accustomed to obeying authority without question. That's real people. That's their mindset. And, I like Asian girls. I like Asian girls a lot. I don't think they like me so much. I think they're curious because they want a white guy or they want a Jewish guy, but I'm not really white. I'm not 100% like got that Jewish thing going on so much for them, maybe because I look a little darker because I've got the Israeli thing going on. So they're kind of like in between. I don't know if I'm getting my white satisfaction or my Jew satisfaction. He's kind of like white-ish. And so they kind of do like a one-step, two-step with me where they're kind of in, they're kind of out. They don't know what they're getting. And so, yeah, it kind of sucks because I like Asian girls. So maybe that'll change when there's only, you know, a billion of us and, you know, half of them are Asian girls and maybe there'd be more Asian men, but I think I'd have a better chance. So that's something at least for me to look forward to. If we continue on this trajectory, is I might finally get an Asian girlfriend. Actually, I was the only Asian girl I've ever dated in my life, she kept it a secret from everybody in her world and her family and her friends. She would only meet me, when we were out with her friends. You know, we couldn't do anything. But she would come over and she would, you know, we would do stuff, in the privacy of my apartment with the blinds closed. She was very, you know, made sure that the blinds were closed because all the telescopes looking in my place and the paparazzi, she wouldn't want to. She wouldn't want to humiliate herself that she's with some mutt or whoever the heck I am. the weird prince guy. Can't be seen with the weird prince guy, but he's kind of cute and he does interesting things to my body. I'm also pretty sure before I took her clothes off for the first time, she said to me, "You know, you're really lucky for me to allow you to do this." Which I think I pretty said in response to it, "Thanks." Like, what am I supposed to say there? I'm lucky. Maybe I should have said, "Oh, actually, you know, I've been playing the Hot Asian Poon Lottery and, I've been, you know, figuring out the algorithms and the probabilities and you'll be surprised, but it's actually not luck. I actually expected to hook up with you tonight because I had played the Hot Asian Poon Lottery and I won." Oh my goodness. Gracious me. She was really cute, though. Wow, she was a real babe. So there's this really interesting idea, this interesting theory that a wonderful woman named Dr. Lee Merritt, I hope I'm saying that her last name right, it might be Merrick, could be Merritt, that just came out with recently, very, very interesting. Just something to think about. Not saying this is right, not saying this is wrong, just a way to maybe possibly expand our thoughts about what has been going on in the world. So here is the wonderful, astute Dr. Lee Merritt.
"That we now know that this spike protein itself, in fact, not the whole spike protein, but a S1 subunit of the spike protein, can reproduce all the symptoms of COVID. You don't even need a coronavirus. So if you notice that one of the big controversies going on right now is, why can we not isolate the virus? Where's the isolate? Why can't CDC give us an isolate? We hear this lab guy in California saying, hey, you know, we tested all this virus, we tested all these samples coming out of people's lungs that presumably were dying of COVID or had COVID, and we can't find anything but influenza A and influenza B. Okay? So just as a food for thought, here's a possibility. There never was a viral outbreak. It was a bioweapon release of a spike protein or a subunit of the spike protein that could be passed on tactilely, like could be spread in an area, maybe aerosolized, but spread in an area. Think Wuhan, Lombardy, and New York City. Because have we seen it spread any, if it really were spread like they told us it was spread by airborne, why did we not see other cities go down? We didn't do lockdowns until it was already diminishing. So that doesn't explain what's going on. There's a lot of, there are more unknowns than knowns if you look at it from the perspective of just a standard viral outbreak with an unusual virus. But if you look at it as a bioweapons attack at three cities maybe New York, maybe not, but at least look like Lombardy and Wuhan for sure, and I think New York too. You might have sprayed this stuff around, and then a few generations pass it down. You pass this through, maybe two or three passes through humans, and then what do you see? We see a standard flu season curve. It all was coming down. There was nothing going on. It was really coming down. In Israel, for example, it was coming down to almost no deaths, and then they started the vaccine program. Now, what's the vaccine program? They're literally giving you the genetic material to build this spike protein in your body, in all sorts of cells. It goes everywhere. It doesn't just sit in your arm. It goes all over. And it produces the actual pathogen in your system. And then it can potentially apparently shed. We do that, but that's the part we have. I don't quite know how it gets from there to you, but here's the story.
All right. So look, here's my bottom line with all this. And I say this with love, you know, I honor everybody's choices. And one of the beautiful things about living in this country is we get to honor everybody's choice of how they want to live their life. And to say, your life is not mine. I don't know what you're going through. If that's what your choice is, then God bless you. But when we're looking at what's been going on in the world with everybody and the suppression of the alternative to the mainstream narrative, whether you agree with it or not, you must come to terms with the fact that there is an inherent risk in taking part in a global experiment. Okay. I don't think that can be denied. And the bottom line for me is where there is risk, there must be choice without coercion. Say that again. Where there is risk, there must be choice without coercion. You cannot put a gun to my head and say, join this fantasy football league with a bunch of sharks where you're not going to get your first, second, or third round pick. Okay? You can't put a gun to my head and say, listen, you're going to join this Dungeons and Dragons campaign, but you're going to be a first level thief with a loincloth and a stubby knife and go fight that dragon. That's not okay. That's a risk. That's a high risk. I'm not going to do it. I know these are really nerdy analogies, but I think, you know, hey, same concept pretty much. So I hope that's what you kind of are getting from everything. That's my main thing. That's my main intention of all of this is we really need to talk this stuff out and we really need to assume that there is a risk here and we just can't go willy-nilly blindly into the night without really expressing our concerns and having those concerns honored. So right now, I'm very excited. Let's get past this. We've got a new sponsor the first time, a reputable or maybe irreputable new sponsor. So we're not doing a commercial, but we're going to do a little news break. And then after the news break, we're going to have our amazing guest on and a surprise guest. So I'm very excited to bring on who just kind of jumps on in the middle. Okay, here's our news thing. Very exciting.
Live from Washington, this is Cox Shmi Biggity Bing Bing. The fraudulent Biden administration is backtracking on Sleepy Joe's recent press conference where he whispered most of his announcement on the infrastructure deal. Whereas before they said he had laryngitis, they're now admitting that due to his podium being near a bookcase, he thought he was standing in a library, therefore the whisper. Kamala Harris' visit to El Paso, hundreds of miles away from the actual border crisis, is being viewed as a huge success. Her recommendations to revive the now-defunct Borders bookstore franchise and to place these stores along the border to give hope, jobs, and discounted Twilight books to sex-trafficked children of the cartel is being met with bipartisan support. Drag Queen Story Hour is making its way into professional sports. On July 4th, the New York Yankees will host a Drag Queen Story Hour on home plate before they take on the Mets. Word is that Governor Andrew Cuomo will be reading from the soon-to-be classic, The Hips on the Drag Queen Go Swish, Swish, Swish. Also to show their pride, the entire Yankees team will be dressed up as their favorite character from La Cage aux Folles when they take the field. In response, the Boston Red Sox have issued a statement claiming that La Cage aux Folles is overrated and that they will all be dressing up as Hedwig from Hedwig and the Angry Inch on July 4th to show their pride. They will also be using the pronouns he, him, and Park the car. This is NPR.
Support from NPR comes from the Chinese Communist Party, where you can now have up to three, count them, three kids if you want. The CCP is asking, actually no begging, for more females because they need them women's. They ain't enough them women's. We got to get them women's. Please send us your women's.
All right. Well, that's pretty cool. An actual reputable news agency is signed on to the Free Brightness podcast. See, we're getting sponsorships. We're getting news. We're getting all kinds of stuff, people. We are on the come up. So I'm going to take the little baby Yof and we're going to hop in our whip, as the kids like to say, the whip. Yep. We're going in our whip, Yof. And we're going to head over to the valley, Sherman Oaks, the Shokes. And we're going to meet our good old buddy, Mr. Robert Max. And we're going to have ourselves a little conversation. All right, Yof, let's get going. Off in the whip we go. See you on the other side, people.
All right. It's kind of hard being Snoop Dogg double G.
You're so not.
I'm just excited. There's a microphone in front of me.
Really? Have you never been interviewed before?
Not like this.
How have you been interviewed?
Like when you're sitting and, and they're asking you, have you ever washed dishes before? I've been interviewed. This is not going to be on there, is it?
It's all, as we've been recording since I walked in. Your neuroses with me touching your refrigerator handle.
You were outside with your dog picking up her poop and picking you were trying to go up in my refrigerator.
With a plastic, like you, what do you think I'm doing? Do you think I'm actually putting my hand on her bare tuchus?
You know,
and scooping out her dung and then wiping, is that what you think?
That's what you have done in the past.
Yes, that I wipe.
And then you go in your refrigerator. But you're comfortable with that.
I wipe shit from my ass with my bare hand. And then I just touch things. Is that what I do? I wipe shit.
I'm not going to tell people about you do. You're going to be all mad at me for telling people what you do.
There's nothing to tell. It's a buffer system, my friend. Okay. We live in a world of germs. That's the problem.
But then you're comfortable with doing something.
The healthiest being alive because
I know you're going to edit this part.
This is all good. I'm going to lead the whole podcast with this. That's what I'm going to.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. This is golden material.
It is. How are you doing?
I'm here with Robert Max, who is, has many titles to his name. Quantum physicist is one of them.
One.
Music producer, mm-hmm. another one. A philosopher, writer, mm-hmm. general misfit. Mm-hmm. Yes. Misinformed global citizen on certain issues.
Differences of opinion.
Yes, many major differences. I would say the ones that obviously interest me are the merging of the quantum field with the music the most. I think that's what's
well, and a lot of people are discovering that. I mean, people have they've been knowing about that whole concept. Is that what you wanted to address today?
We're talking about whatever.
Okay.
It's kind of like a go with the flow type of thing.
I don't know if that's going to be the sexiest subject to start off with.
What do you think the sexiest subject would be, Mr. Max?
What you talked about earlier about you and your pride, night, your pride party night.
Robert Max likes to project his underlying hidden gay feelings of life onto me. Because he knows I can take it, and I've endured the slings of arrows of being.
I try to make you feel comfortable.
I walk in here, and
I'm not
and
trying
you
to
say,
do. I'm trying to make you feel comfortable.
You say, "How was your gay pride party?"
I didn't say gay pride party. I said pride.
Pride
party.
And I was like, I didn't go
because
to a pride party.
It's across the board. I just was trying to be supportive.
What? Supportive of what, might I ask?
This gets edited out, too.
This is all going down the toilet. This is a big... this is a big...
Snip, snip.
Snip, 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 snip. I'm going to make you sound... You know, this. I just realized I can make you sound like anything. I could just say,
oh, yes,
Robert, hey, Robert, do you agree with that? Just all I got to do is have you say yes once, yeah. And then I'm just going to... explode a litany of theories that I am going to espouse that I know you disagree with, and I'll be like, Robert, but don't you think that rings true? And you'll go, yes.
Well, are we on Prince already or no?
Are we on what?
Prince.
We haven't gotten to Prince. We haven't even gotten to music.
Okay. We were addressing music and the quantum aspect of music.
So as a quantum music producer, if somebody... you write a song for somebody and it sucks. Do you just say, well, in another dimension, it's rocking?
I don't think we say that. I don't think we say that. I think one of the keys to, what we've all, the whole, see,
What? That's yo. She's the co-host.
Did she? Is that her? Come pick up my poo.
No.
Is that what it is? She's yelling at you. No, it's
not. She's protecting you.
Did she poo?
She is the co-host. She's the co-host of the show. She's on the freaking illustration of the artwork.
I know. She's the sweetest thing in the world.
She is. All right. Let's get back to Quantum. Go ahead.
Don't let her poop on my rug.
She's not gonna poop on your rug. She's never pooped on your rug. Go ahead.
Okay. Where were we?
We were talking about the aspect of quantum physics within the creation of music.
Yeah, but where were we?
I don't know. I'm listening to you. I'm not a recorder. I can't regurgitate.
So you weren't listening to me.
I was listening to you.
So what did I say?
You started. You hadn't even begotten to get into anything. You haven't gotten into anything. You said, one of the reasons.
Snip, snip.
One of the reasons. You just said,
begotten is not going to end up on
it. I'm begotten is the new word of the
miracle
du jour.
Of editing.
Begotten's going to replace literally. Girls are all going to be like, I totally begotten was there.
Right.
I begotten. Yeah.
Right. Well, look, it really is about now. And when you start crossing it up, when you start getting too pretentious or try to be too controlling about what's coming out of the end, out on the other end when you're doing a musical performance, like you can prepare yourself, you can you can run your skills and you can do your techniques and your exercises to build up for your vocals. At the end of the day, it's about the moment. When you record. And there's too often when people are, when they're trying to go back over their performance and nitpick over every line, that's what you get. That's what you hear. You hear a nitpick. A lot of the music that's out right now is like, as everybody knows, it's tuned. The vocals are tuned.
Right.
The timing is fixed. A lot of people don't know about that.
But
even the
that?
Very timing, a lot of people who are not necessarily very trained or strong vocalists, they rush or they drag. It's like in the movie. What was it? Rushing and Dragging. What was it?
Oh, the drummer movie. Yeah. I forget the name of it.
Yeah. Well, it was a really good movie.
Great movie.
He won an award for it.
He won an Oscar, yeah.
It's one of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is. I could see you being the black version of that guy.
Oh yeah, we need to be disciplined so that we don't rush and that we don't drag, because even when we're hitting it dead on, we're not hitting it dead on. We're not computers. We're not machines. And it's that slight variation. It's a slight variation in the human element of it that. That we capture, we capture a human performance, and human performance is a human performance.
And it's flawed. It's inherently flawed, which is beautiful.
But when you say flawed, I mean, what's flawed about it? When you say flawed, you mean it's not according to a correction on a clock?
Right, exactly. But I don't consider that flawed.
You just said it was flawed.
I mean, it was improper usage of a term. I didn't mean flawed per se.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So what you're doing is you're capturing a human performance, a great human performance.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're trying to capture. And it is a different experience when we hear it. A lot of people don't realize when we start talking about analog and digital. A lot of people talk about the concept of what's called end-to-end analog recordings.
Right.
And that means you go from a microphone through a cable, you hit a powered amplifier and equalizer setup, mic pre.
Right.
That then goes to through a magnetizing process.
Right.
On tape. And then that is played back again through reading the magnetized tape.
Right.
Which is dragging over it. And then those those that input is sent either to cut physically into vinyl with vibration, the recording, or else it's tape that's going to tape or whatever it is, tape to tape. That was what we used to have.
Right.
And there was a art of doing that. A lot of people go, well, that, you know, the sound was so pure and natural and da 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 da. No, it was, that's the art of magnetized recording. Mm-hmm. The concept of mastering was created to be as another art to handle the fluctuations that there were in magnetized recordings. So end to end, the whole process is one where we're hearing, things through a mode that's not the actual sound.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, we're hearing a reproduction of the sound, but it's a reproduction sound just like the digital is a reproduction of the sound.
Right.
The problem is that when we started recording digitally, we didn't get people who wanted to be masters of making digital sound work. You know, we tried to find, there were people, you know, when I say that, I don't mean that there weren't people that were trying to develop better converters. For digital converters for audio before people start calling you and saying or sending emails. I'm not saying that, that there weren't people that were trying to make better digital converters.
Right.
But it's the process of handling that recorded audio in such a way and the playback of that audio to make it an undeniable experience for the listener.
But how can you replicate the same type of experience for the listener when the actual equipment is so completely different from what people were recording on prior in analog?
I mean, when they had analog, they figured out how to do it for analog. You know what I mean? They had the basic, and they found a way to make it pleasant. They found a way to make the sound of magnetism feel good.
Right.
Okay? And tubes and transistors and the rest of it.
But all those tubes and those transistors, there's this almost a biology to them that I think makes them very unique, which is where I think you get the sound and that organic sound that makes you feel like you're connected to humanity.
Hold on. You're saying organic. It's not an organic sound. Do we have like field workers out plucking transistors and tubes off the trees? It wasn't there. It was a design. It was a pleasant design and a pleasant experience that we could hear recordings. But one thing that we noticed about digital was that we got clarity that we weren't getting from the analog because of the noise factor.
Right.
When you were dealing with analog recordings and reproduction. And we even start to embrace the noise factor. The scratches on an album. Mm. Each time you played a tape, you wore off some of the sound every time you played it. Right. And you didn't really even notice it until later on when you hear it played again. You know, you go back after not hearing it and then hearing it again, something that's new. The concept of analog we keep talking about is organic. It's not organic. It's not organic. What would be organic is if we had something that captured air itself. The air itself, and went and pushed the air itself so that you could hear all the nuances of what a voice sounds like when it's actually in front of you pushing air.
Why haven't they done that? They've not even attempted to do that.
It's not that they try to do it in the ways that they can, and they overlook the major aspects of that sound. They deal with what they can capture. And they try to make an experience out of that. It's not like it's a bad thing. You know, a lot of people, they really are down on the whole digital thing. And we just need people that can work with it better. That can make it come to life. And they keep doing better each year, you know, with the converters. Just like, right now, one day we're going to look back and laugh on this whole thing with high resolution streaming audio, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to be like, you know, just like the word hi-fi, you know, a hi-fi system, mm-hmm. you know, back in the 60s.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Back in the 60s and
the 70s. There,
yeah. You had a hi-fi system.
That's right.
And, right. And it's beautiful fi. You know, I believe, you know, I love the sound of analog recordings end to end. But at the same time, it's not what sound actually sounds like when you're right there with the person. But it doesn't matter because the people who were making it so that it could sound the way it does when it comes out.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? They were making it that way. They were setting it up for that experience.
Which is why vinyl sounds so much better than...
Yeah, right. Because end to end, there were people who were masters of it. Who, you know, there was the engineer who knew how it was going to turn out when he addressed certain frequencies and made them more prominent when they were recording, because they start to degrade, and it ended up right where he wanted it to, mm-hmm. or right where she wanted it to, when in the end product. So, it's just we need people who have more imagination and who can expand and on the concept. At least if we just start talking about it, then more people will get involved with making newer ways of listening and hearing music.
Where do you feel is the next wave of people being able to listen to music? What do you see coming down the pipe?
When we talk about the next wave, the wave that I was explaining to everyone about three years ago, that the whole push with EDM and the festivals and all that kind of stuff was going to change, and we were going to go into a new cycle. There are these cycles, internal and external cycles, mm-hmm. and they happen every, let's call it 10 to 15 years or more. What happens is we will deal with things that are a matter of internal thought and feelings and our concern for our society and ourselves in music, and then we will go external, which is just release, using music to just release and just have a blast.
Right.
And you see that happening all the way. This is something that we address in the Star 44 meetings.
So do you think that the previous iteration of the just release and have a blast was maybe disco?
Disco was that.
Disco.
How much is that doggy in the window was that? And everybody's doing the Michigan rag. When they were doing the Charleston and all of that. That was the part of, those are external periods.
Swing. The swing is what you're saying. In the 30s.
Well,
in the 30s and 40s.
But you have to understand, the 30s, in the 40s, you started going external after the war.
Right.
Because people needed the release.
Right.
And then in the 50s, you have the twist and you have, all of these dances that are going on, and it's all external. It's just letting out there, you know, in whatever way you can. And then in the 60s, people start getting serious again, you know, in the mid to late 60s. You know, you have people that were really concerned about the war.
I think the 60s, from what I really understand, the 60s really was 1965 to 1967. Like, that's when it was really serious. It was the encapsulation of, like, everything. Like, everything that was happening was in, like, that 2-3, maybe 4-year period. And then everything after was the disintegration. It's kind of like a build-up to the mid, and then it just kind of all fell apart, and then all the icons of that era just were basically taken out, and that was the end of it.
Well, no, that was the initial thrust of it, but it continued. And you see it in the music, and you see it in the politics of America. You see in the 70s, in the early 70s, late 60s, you have, you know, your Laurel Canyon scene.
Right.
You know, you have Earth, Wind & Fire. You have all of these artists. You have like your all the groups like, you know, Three Dog Night and you have
Three Dog Night.
Yeah, you have all of this stuff. There is an internal, even like when you start talking about like Barbra Streisand and other artists like that. It was about clever arrangements. It was about songs that have some kind of depth or captured some kind of picture of something that they're trying to capture a moment in time. And so it was internal in its nature.
Well, that's very interesting because you're saying that the EDM was the, we need to get this out, we need a release.
That's what it was.
So you're saying now that after we're coming from where we're coming from in the past year and all the mishigas of the past several years, you're saying it's going to now turn to internal and we're going to get introspective and
serious? Well, the mishigas, why we're internal, because of the sensitivities that came about. And that's the part of the cycle.
But it seems to me that we want to go back to the, we need to just release and get stuff out and go crazy because we've been so
people
repressed.
Having a hard, at this point,
it seems a push and pull between external and internal right now.
Yeah, I was at the Grove, earlier this evening for a really great show. At the farmer's market, they have a little restaurant there and this band was rocking. And, Clem, the drummer from Blondie and Gary was singing lead. These other, his cats that, you know, there's some players. And they did this great show. And not a mask in sight.
God bless it.
Not even on the servers. And.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And people.
The server didn't have paste papers?
The servers didn't have.
Oh, my God.
They didn't have.
Praise Jesus, Krishna, and Moses.
But.
And Prince.
But what you did see, people were just. You know, they were trying to get used to the concept of looking around and seeing faces.
Yeah.
They were, you know, and the performance was great. It was, you know, it's so great to go out and see people who really understand and feel music. And these cats, all due respect, you know, they've had some years on them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they came from a time when the music was internal and they knew how to bring it. And it was absolutely just special. It was absolutely special. And people that were like driving or walking by stopped in because they were seeing this interaction and feeling this music that actually, was being played by great players. And they were just doing cover songs.
Yeah.
But they were rocking.
They were killing it.
Yeah. So, and being able to look around and see each other's faces, others' faces, and to have that, you know, that's a blessing that we have when we can walk in the streets or in the malls or wherever and or meet with our friends and be able to get the expression that comes from their face that we've been missing. You know, with this pandemic, from strangers, there's communication.
Well, it should never have been taken away. I mean, that's a whole 50-minute, two-three-hour conversation.
Yeah.
But it should never have been taken away to begin with, and to feel like that's like that's been given to us back. We should never have given it away. At all.
Like you said, that's another subject.
That's a 5-hour conversation. Hey, Yopi! Yopi! That's what the podcast is about. We have deep conversations, and then Yopi interrupts it with
Yopi.
She's just letting everybody know that she's here. Hey, Yopi, get over here! Stop barking.
There's going to be some poop on my rug.
No, there's not going to be poop on your rug.
All right.
Well, that's really interesting. So where do you think, if we can get back to music, what's next?
What is happening next?
What is the 20, like, God, so if you want to say 2000s was, I don't even know what you could say the 2000s, like 2000s was this amalgam of all kinds of different genres. I don't even know if there's one that necessarily stood out. I definitely think you can ascribe EDM and all that.
Yeah.
Heavy beats and tuning and tinny, mm-hmm. plasticize yeah. perfection
right.
Down to a micro nanosecond.
You have to understand, it wasn't everything every aspect.
Everything was crunched. Everything had to just be so, so exact. And I think everybody's nerd of numbers on a screen equaling the human, as you yeah. said, expression went to a real drastic turn. So if that's the 2010s, then what are the, now that we're starting to now get back to our experience of being humanity, hopefully God willing, mm-hmm. Where are we going next with our 2020s?
If you look back, a lot of people don't realize that that's what The Voice, American Idol, The Voice, American Idol, what's some of the other shows? I mean,
America's Got Talent.
Yeah, all of it. They were a part of the external and pushing that. Singing was not about where we were in how we related to each other as human beings. Mm-hmm. It was a contest. It was I beat you down.
Right.
You know, with my singing ability.
But none of them were.
And then they put numbers on it.
Right.
To qualify your performance.
Right.
And so we lost what music can do.
Well,
I have people who come into the studio here,
yeah.
and we play music, and they're musicians, they're artists. And they will come in, hi Flower, they will come in and they'll hear music here in the studio and they'll just be blown away at what it's doing. Because they you gotta remember, it's been going on for like over 15 years now.
What's been going on for 15 years?
The whole thing with American Idol and all
but none of
the stuff.
The thing with American Idol and The Voice and all that
Star
stuff,
Search.
None of them, difference with Star Search was actually people from Star Search became artists and
no, well,
some did.
No,
I don't think you could say that.
The same percentage.
It was this,
the same percentage with
but
the
at
others.
Least the thing is with the singing competitions, none of them were artists. They were just raw. I have a voice, they were just sucked up into the machine and spit out within seconds.
But that was because it was not about artistry.
You're right. I agree with you.
It's not about artistry.
I agree with you 100%.
This was largely due to them trying to adjust from, and look we have Chico Bennett.
Huh?
We'll do this.
Yofi, come here.
Okay.
Yofi.
We've been playing phone tag. Chico Bennett.
Did you call him?
Myself, huh?
Did you? Well, pick up the phone.
No. You want to have him on?
Yeah, let's have him on.
Oh.
Yeah, get him on.
And hear what he has to say.
Yeah, let's go.
I don't know how ready he'd be.
Just put him on the phone. I haven't spoken to him forever.
Well, no, I don't have the phone in here. It's out there.
Well, I'm going to get the phone then.
Okay. Did you want
to? Hey, Chico.
Yes.
We're talking about music. Do you want to say anything about where you think the future of music is going?
You can do one with him. Why don't you just do one with him?
No, he called in. It's serendipity that Chico Bennett, legendary music producer, just called in while we're talking about the future of music. That's no accident. Am I right, Chico?
There are no accidents.
Thank you very much. So as Robert was espousing his opinions, which can be quite tainted and wrong, as I'm sure you're aware of. see, he knows. He laughs because he knows it's true. Where do you think the future of music is going now that we've kind of, if we were saying basically 2010s EDM, 2000, who the hell knows? Now that we're getting back to some, form of normalcy and people are going to start creating again, where do you see music going?
Well, I'm like a bit of a cockeyed optimist. I'm hoping that what happens is that, you know, things are cyclical. And I think that what's happening right now, musically, is to the larger degree really not about anything. Let me quantify that. It's not, it's just a lot of very self-indulgent stuff. I'm hoping that considering what the last few years have been, this last couple years, that people, you know, will kind of reach outside themselves a little bit more and
yep.
start doing music that is, you know, a little bit more, nourishing.
Yeah. That's what I said too. I mean, not that I want it to happen, but that I'm sure that that's what's happening.
Society is changing, you know, in some weird ways because of social media and that self-indulgence, you know what I mean? I'm really trying to stay hopeful about it. You know what I mean? I'm really trying to stay hopeful and hoping that, you know, that artists, you know, kind of get their heads out of their asses a little, you know?
Do you see any types of new genres coming into the realm that we haven't experienced yet? Is there going to be some sort of new fusion or?
I don't know. I mean, that has everything to do with what I'm saying.
The way
these new genres happen is that, you know, people are digging in a little bit more as opposed to, you know, just looking in the mirror and go, wow, I'm really cute.
Right.
And then, you know, they discover something and it, you know, they throw it into the pool and everybody goes, wow, this is dope. And, you know, around the corner, then there's a new genre, you know what I mean? Or a new approach or a new way of looking at something that was old, you know what I mean? But that's kind of how that happens, is when people get their, you know, stop being so selfish about creating, you know what I mean?
Do you think the democratization, if you will, of music production, where anybody could basically turn on a computer and create out of thin air, do you think that's something that's going to keep exploding, or is we now going to start weeding out the suckers and maybe really start finding our way back to expertise, where I feel we've kind of muddied down and watered down quality because anybody who's anybody can just create. And that's a wonderful thing, but I think we've overcorrected. And do you maybe see it coming back to something a little more nuanced, if you will?
Yeah. I think that really has everything to do with public consumption. You know what I mean? You know, as long as people will eat at McDonald's, McDonald's will exist. You know what I mean? You know, I think if people stop consuming that, then, you know, I mean, I think the technology is here and it's not going anywhere,
right,
as far as I see. So, you know, there's always going to be, you know, people, you know, who don't have any musical expertise, you know, messing around with a computer and going, wow, this is a cool beat.
Right.
Something on it and put it out. You know what I mean? That's, I think that's here to stay. Agreed. I think what happens though
that's called the novelty though.
I'm sorry, what's that?
I said, but then that's called the novelty though. That always happens. It happens in every cycle.
Yeah. But I think, again, like I said, it really comes down to what the public, what the consumption is, what the demand is, you know. Mm. I think, you know, if people stop listening to those things, stop, you know, giving them that attention, you know, then yeah, I think they'll be there, but they'll be kind of beneath the threshold, so to speak. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, if the public starts consuming, you know, I don't want to say real music, but, you know, things that have a little more content, you know, then that's what will, you know, that's what we'll start seeing more of, I think.
Thanks, brother.
Sure, man. You're welcome.
That's good stuff. I appreciate it.
He's like, wrong, but I'll tell you.
No. What do you mean? I agree. No.
You know how many wrong things he said? I'll tell you.
He said everything.
I'm going to go off the phone with him.
Yeah. Shall I punch him now, Chico, or do you want me to wait till you're off the phone where I could get a good roundhouse on him?
All right, you guys. I got to grab this other call.
All right.
Go.
Thanks, Chico.
If you would, though, call me back or shoot me a text about the other stuff.
Yep. Okay. 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 Hooking up with these models later on.
Who's hooking up with models?
We are. You wanted me to come. That's not a big deal. They always, he was like, the ones that, anyway, it's not a big deal.
You're hooking up with models later?
I always hook up with models.
You never hook up with models.
It's not anything, it's not a big deal.
Hey, Yofi, calm down.
That's something that we've lost, but now we are rediscovering.
What's that?
Not only the need to be kind, but how much we need kindness. If you go on any of the top playlists, it's all the stuff that has more, it's more about sensitivity and connection. And that's where we are. You know, like I said, at the show today, you know, the guys on stage were great, but everybody was like looking at each other and enjoying looking at each other's faces and being with each other.
Yeah.
It was like, it was a little surreal. It was really, touching. It was.
Well, I think that's what Chico was just saying. I think that it's about, maybe he's really right, that the sensitivity and the emotionality is really going to come back. Mm-hmm. I think maybe that we were just forcibly locked in by our tyrannical masters. It forced us to actually get in touch with ourselves more. And now that we're in touch with that, maybe that's where the music's going to come from.
Well, that's, like I said, that's the cycle.
Yeah. You know, maybe you're right. I would think that's what I'm saying. I almost thought it would be the opposite. It would be that we need to just go yeah, yeah, cuckoo, gaga, and just create loud, massive music just to release, as it were. But maybe it's the emotionality that we're finally going to get back to. That would be wonderful. Yeah. That'd be nice.
We've already started. It's going to happen. I've been explaining, like, when this was, people saw no end in sight to the EDM thing. But if you look at the cycle, there was a definite end in sight. And with this that we're going through now, this healing and us reaching out to each other and the love, hey, look, if the cycle is what the cycle is, then, you know, let's try to make this stretch out as long as we can, because it'll come back around to the external again.
We are at the end of our cycle, as it is also the 21,592 year cycle. That is the age of Pisces, and now we're in the age of Aquarius. So then we've talked about that, and the cycle, I think, of the pole shifting and all that stuff,
everything,
and the new Earth and the ascension, and that's why there's so much mishigas and craziness in the world right now, is because we're coming up against it. It's that transition. So I think this past year was definitely a transition of many things. And God, you know, I think that's where I would love to see that music.
I have a question. I'm going to tell you something in front of your listeners.
Oh, boy.
You and I have known each other how long?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
No, I'm just kidding. I was thinking of Eddie Murphy and Ralph Crampton and Norton.
Norton, my friend. Norton, how would you like to fuck me in the ass? I know. You want it. You want to fuck me in the ass. Now, when I count to three, start fucking. Wow.
Yeah.
Humming. I'm glad we're going to put that on in the world. I mean, the love that needs to come out from our healing, and our love and the healing and the love. I know, you know, I want you to. Hey, there's healing and fuck you in the ass, believe me.
No, what did I start to actually start? You made me forget it now.
Come on, ask me the question. I've known you for a 10 plus years.
But before that, what did I say?
I don't know. You were talking about, you were going to ask me a question. You said, I've known you for 10 years. How long have I known you?
Yeah, I know, but there was something before that.
We were talking
about...
You
made it fall out of my head. You do the love, every time.
The love and the hopeful and the optimism and kumbaya.
Oh, I think it's coming back now. Yeah, because we were talking about that aspect of things.
What's the question? You jabbed up?
You know, you have a problem with that, so I'm not going to even answer.
You're not going to answer? You don't want to put it out in the world, that's why.
I don't want to put it out in the world. Nah. It's like, I think that whatever you're comfortable with, that's what you should do.
All right. Well,
I think that's how you should... A lot of people don't feel like that, and they're pointing at each other, and they're saying, you should do what I did.
That's right.
I didn't do.
That's right. You know? I agree with you. I agree. That I agree with you.
It's
your choice. I don't have a problem with anybody saying whatever you want to do is your choice.
No, it's not even that. It's that they're not debating this on any real, with any real, they're not looking at, we are in a situation where we should really communicate about this and really listen to each other.
I agree with you on that.
And then if we do that, we may come up with a rational concept as to how to approach this. Like I said, the people that are vaccinated are like, don't tell me that something's going to go wrong with the vaccine. I already took it. You know?
Well, too freaking bad. That's something you should have looked into.
But see,
too freaking bad. I mean,
who knows?
See, that's what's happening.
That's
what
they said about all kinds of vaccines.
We do know. Here's the problem. You just spoke to it just a second ago. Mm-hmm. Is that you said they feel bad or they realize that there might be something wrong with it, but rather than admit to it, they want to double down on being right. And I think that's a crux of what's happened right now with everybody is that coming up against their belief systems where they're realizing that they might have been wrong. You have a fork in the road. You either go one way, you say, I need to investigate where I was wrong and maybe right it. Uh-huh. Or you double down and you firm that wall and you say, I don't care. I have a cognitive dissonance about it, but I'm going to double down on my choices, regardless of whether I know within myself if it's right or wrong.
Wrong, exactly.
And that's where I have the issue with. I have the issue with
you and
with
I
those.
Are on the same page there. Very rarely are we, but we are definitely.
So to me,
page.
It's like I'm all for communication. Let's hash it out. But when you're trying to, one, impose, or two, go to the extreme of yourself to justify your choices, I have an issue. And that's what I think I'm seeing very much in all, as you say, in all sides, everybody. Right. I don't even know if it's sides. It's just this one big glop of people, you know, coming up against all of their stuff and triple quadrupling down on either of it, you know? Yeah. And anybody that, you know, again, live and let live, do what you want. I honor your choices, but you got to honor everybody else's, you know, whatever they are. And once you start crossing lines of imposition, then I have issues. So that's really where I sit at the base of everything that I've ever said about all of this stuff, right from the beginning, masks, you name it. It's the imposition that I've taken umbrage.
And like we said, the whole thing with
what's your final word?
My
because I won't be having you on again for at least another 2 years.
I know.
I got a whole list of people.
I know you do.
Got a whole list of people. People, they're all coming on. They can't wait.
You may want to get Allie on soon.
Well, I might. Allie?
Yeah.
I'll get her in the fall. Yeah, I've already booked up through, maybe August.
Yeah, she has,
I'm booked up through,
fine. She has a release in September.
All right, I'll get her in the end of August.
Yeah.
Wait, who do I have in August? Oh yeah, okay.
But, you know, the one thing that I would like to say, or the one thing that I would leave you with, is that we have to be honest about what we do and what we do not know. And we have to quit being defensive with each other about what's going on, especially when none of us are the ones who are controlling any aspect of this. We do collectively if we get on the same page, but until we do, then we'll just be put against each other. We got to stop doing that. We got to, you know, the person who's the furthest away from you in your thought, you have to realize that they're just grasping on to what they can to try to move forward in life. Whether you agree with it or not, and whether you see that it doesn't work or not, that's not the point. We have to stop the concept of using that as a basis of separation.
I agree.
So.
And if you're confused about where that separation lies, ask me and I'll tell you what's right and wrong.
And we're back at square one. It was wonderful being on your show,
man. Oh, I'm glad to finally have you. God bless it. It was a long time coming, and she has to go pee-pee.
All right. That's a good point to end on.
Yopi's got to go peeps the beeps.
And we got a conversation to pick up in the not-too-distant future.
All right. We'll have you back on.
All right, guys. Well, Thank you so, so, so very much to Mr. Robert Max and the inimitable Mr. Chico Bennett for coming on and blessing us with their unbelievable intelligence about music and all that is good around the music thing. And thank you for our new news sponsor and Kakshmi Shpika Bing Bing. And thank you for listening. Hey, if you liked it, spread the word. Send a link to somebody. Say, hey, have you checked out the brightness? Let's get the brightness out there, people. People need it. Drop a comment. Drop a review. Drop whatever you want. Make a t-shirt. Send it to me. Send it to your friends. Do what you got to do. Yopi, what else? You got anything you say to little people out there, the podlings? Yopi, want to be with the babies and baby you? It's a baby you. All right, guys. Have a great week or 2 weeks or however long I take to get another one of these out. I'll talk to you soon. Peace. Beep, beep.